Hey everyone, have you ever thought about like what would happen if someone hacked into like the system that manages your backups?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a pleasant thought, right?
Definitely not a pleasant thought,
Yeah.
not at all. And that's kind of the nightmare scenario we're diving into today. So we're talking about vulnerabilities in Veeam.
Yeah, Veeam's a big player in the world of backup and disaster recovery, that's for sure.
It's huge.
And what makes these vulnerabilities so concerning is they're not theoretical, they're being actively exploited.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, and the potential damage is just massive. I mean, we're talking data breaches, ransomware attacks, all the things you really don't want to be dealing with.
All the bad things.
Exactly. And what makes it even worse is that Veeam is often entrusted with a company's most sensitive data.
Yeah, the crown jewels, so to speak.
Exactly. The stuff you really don't want falling into the wrong hands.
So this isn't just, a what-if scenario. This
No.
is live. This is happening now, and the stakes are incredibly high.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so let's say I'm responsible for Veeam security in my company. Where do I even begin?
Well, I think a good place to start is by understanding the two major vulnerabilities that are causing all this trouble.
Okay, so break it down for me.
The first one, you'll see it as CVE 2024-42448. This one's what's known as a remote code execution vulnerability.
Okay, and in plain English, what does that actually mean?
So imagine you're handing over the keys to your entire IT infrastructure
Oh,
to a hacker.
okay.
Like they can just walk right in and take control of your systems because of this.
So handing over the keys to the kingdom, so to speak.
Yeah, that's vulnerability number one.
Okay, so that's one. What about the second one? How does that compare?
Well, the second vulnerability is CVE 2024-42449. It's still a serious one. It's rated as high severity, but it's not quite as immediately catastrophic as remote code execution. This one allows attackers to steal credentials and delete files.
Ooh.
So they may not be able to take complete control right away, but they can still wreak havoc.
Yeah, I mean, stolen credentials and disappearing files, that's a recipe for disaster.
Definitely.
Okay, so which versions of Veeam are we talking about here? Who needs to be hitting the panic button right now?
So the affected versions are Veeam Service Provider Console versions up to 8.1.0.21377.
Okay.
And here's the kicker. Even if you're running an older, unsupported version, you're probably still vulnerable.
So this isn't a wait and see kind of
Bro,
situation.
it's not.
This is urgent action required.
Absolutely.
So let's walk through what organizations need to do right now to protect themselves.
The only real solution is to upgrade to the patched version,
Okay.
which is VSPC 8.1.0.21999. And I can't stress this enough. You don't want to put this off. The longer you wait, the greater the risk.
Okay, so patching is non-negotiable.
Absolutely non-negotiable.
Got it. But for those of us who maybe aren't, tech wizards,
Yeah.
can you break down exactly how to do this upgrade? What are the key steps?
Sure. So first things first, you need to download the patch. Make sure you're getting it from Veeam's official website.
Right.
You don't want to be downloading from some shady third-party site.
Yeah, definitely not.
Once you have the patch back up your critical data, I can't stress this enough. You never want to install any update without having a safety net.
Words to live by.
Then go ahead and install the update, follow the instructions carefully, and then the last step is to verify the installation
Okay.
by checking the build number just to make sure you're actually running the latest version.
So download, backup, install, verify. Got it. Okay, so besides patching, what other precautions should companies be taking? What else makes up a good security setup?
Well, patching is the absolute priority, but you always want to have a layered approach to security. So think about restricting access to your Veeam servers. Make sure that only authorized personnel can actually get in. And multi-factor authentication or MFA is another essential layer of protection.
Okay, MFA, that's one of those terms that gets thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
But for folks who maybe aren't as familiar, can you explain how it actually improves security?
Think of it like a double lock on your front door.
Okay.
Even if someone steals your password, they still can't get in without that second factor, which might be a code sent to your phone or a fingerprint scan, something like that.
So that extra layer of verification, very good idea.
Definitely.
Okay, what else can we do to kind of build up those security defenses?
Regular security audits are essential.
Okay.
It's like taking your systems in for a checkup, making sure everything's running smoothly,
Yeah.
and identifying any potential weaknesses before they become real problems.
Okay, routine maintenance, so to speak.
Exactly. And of course, you always want to stay up to date with all your other systems and applications as well.
Right.
It's not just Veeam, it's everything.
Keeping everything patched. So
Yeah.
patching Veeam is priority number one.
Absolutely.
But it sounds like this is also a wake-up call to look at all our security practices.
Yeah, take a broader view.
It's about building up those layers of protection and being proactive, right? Now, we've talked about the technical steps, but I'm kind of curious about the human side of this.
Mm-hmm.
We all know people can be the weakest link in the chain.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Human error plays a huge role in a lot of cyber attacks.
Right. So we can have the most sophisticated technology in the world.
Yep.
But if someone clicks on a phishing link or uses a weak password,
mm-hmm.
it can all be for nothing.
That's right. All it takes is one mistake.
So how do we address that?
Yeah.
How do we make sure people aren't accidentally, you know, leaving the door wide open for attackers?
Security awareness training is super important.
Oh, yeah.
We need to educate people about the threats, teach them how to recognize phishing scams, how to create strong passwords, and practice safe browsing habits.
Okay, because knowledge is power, right?
It really is.
But it's not just about those one-and-done training sessions, is it?
No, security awareness needs to be an ongoing process. Those threats are constantly evolving, so we need to keep people informed about the latest risks and how to protect themselves. And it's not just about technical knowledge. Wow. It's about creating a culture of security within an organization.
What do you mean by a culture of security? Can you give me an example of what that looks like in practice?
Yeah, so it's about fostering a mindset where security is everyone's responsibility.
Mm.
It's not just the IT department's problem. Everyone needs to feel ownership and be vigilant, question suspicious emails or links, and report anything that seems off.
So it's that sense of shared responsibility making everyone part of the solution.
Exactly. When everyone understands the importance of security and takes those small but crucial steps, it makes a huge difference in strengthening a company's overall security.
Love it. Okay, so we've covered a lot, patching those VM vulnerabilities, taking extra security steps, and really addressing the human element.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important to remember, this isn't just theoretical. We've seen this happen in the real world, right?
Oh, absolutely. Remember that vulnerability, CVE-2024-407-Elowen.
Vaguely remind me.
That was another flaw in Veeam, and some ransomware groups took full advantage of it.
Okay.
Some pretty nasty ones like Frag and Akira.
And what happened? What were the consequences?
Well, they exploited this vulnerability to get into systems, encrypt data, and basically hold it hostage for ransom.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of companies weren't prepared, and they ended up paying huge sums of money just to get their data back.
So this isn't just a theoretical exercise.
No.
These vulnerabilities have real-world consequences. They can really cripple a company.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so critical to take them seriously, patch immediately, and have those strong security practices in place.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when they'll be exploited.
Man, when you put it like that, it really hits home. This isn't just a technical glitch.
Right.
It's about survival.
Absolutely. Yeah. Data is the lifeblood of so many organizations these days, and losing access to it can be devastating.
Yeah.
It's why having a robust backup and recovery plan is essential.
Oh, for sure. But that's a whole other conversation.
We can save that for another time.
We'll definitely delve into that more later. But before we move on, let's just take a minute to recap what we've learned.
Okay, good idea.
The main takeaways for our listeners today.
So first and foremost, we have two major vulnerabilities in Veeam Service Provider Console that need immediate attention.
Okay.
CVE-2024-42448 and CVE-2024-42449.
And we can't overstate how important patching is.
Nope.
Upgrading to the latest version of Veeam Service Provider Console.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to really fix these security holes.
And even if you're not running one of those specific versions, if you're using an unsupported version, you're still at risk.
Hmm.
Don't assume you're safe. Take the time to upgrade to a supported version as soon as possible.
So upgrade no matter what.
Exactly.
And we also talk about those extra security measures.
Yes.
Besides just patching things like restricting access to the Veeam servers using MFA and doing those regular security audits.
Yeah, those are crucial for a layered approach to security. Think of it as building a fortress around your data. Don't just rely on one lock. Add those extra layers of protection.
Love the analogy.
And remember, this isn't just about fixing these specific problems. It's about developing a proactive security mindset.
Right. Always be thinking one step ahead.
Exactly.
And then there's that cautionary tale of CVE-2024-40711.
Yeah, that previous Veeam vulnerability.
The one that got hit by the ransomware groups.
Right. A good reminder that these issues have real consequences.
Yeah. Significant damage, disruption, financial losses.
All of that.
So we've covered a lot, but I'm curious, we focused a lot on Veeam, but how confident are you in the security of your other critical systems?
That's a great question, and one that every organization should be asking themselves.
Yeah.
It's not just about Veeam. It's about taking a holistic view of your security and making sure you're prepared for anything.
So looking at the bigger picture.
Exactly, because a chain is only as strong as its weakest link.
Okay, we'll pick up that thread and talk more about incident response and other key parts of cybersecurity in the next part of our deep dive, so stay tuned. Welcome back. So we just spent some time talking about those Veeam vulnerabilities and, you know, how important it is to be proactive with security. But I think there's another piece to this whole thing that we need to talk about.
Okay, I am all ears.
Well, we've been talking about Veeam like it's this, you know, faceless entity. But at the end of the day, we're talking about people, right?
Right.
We're trusting Veeam and other companies like them to protect our most sensitive data. And when things like this happen, when these vulnerabilities emerge, it really kind of shakes that trust.
Yeah, you've hit on a really crucial point. I mean, trust is everything in this industry. When a company like Veeam, whose software is supposed to be our last line of defense against data loss, has these kinds of vulnerabilities, it can really send shockwaves through the whole industry.
For sure, for sure. And I'm curious, have you seen this kind of fallout before? Like, what are the long-term consequences for a company like Veeam when something like this happens?
Well, it definitely has a ripple effect. Customers start questioning their choices, you know?
Right. Do they stay or do they go?
Exactly. They wonder if they should switch vendors, competitors, seize the opportunity to highlight their own security strengths. And ultimately, the company's reputation takes a hit, and that can be really hard to recover from.
So it's not just about fixing the technical stuff. It's about rebuilding that trust with customers.
Absolutely.
So how do they do that? How does a company like Veeam regain that trust?
Transparency and communication are key. I think they need to be upfront about what went wrong, how they're fixing it, and what steps they're taking to prevent similar incidents from happening again.
Okay.
They need to show that they're taking security seriously and that they're really committed to protecting their customers' data.
So being honest, being accountable, and showing that commitment to security.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. Well, shifting gears a little bit, there's another player in this whole cybersecurity game that I think we need to talk about, and that's the role of government and regulatory bodies.
Yeah, you're right. Governments and regulators have a huge role to play in setting standards, enforcing regulations, and promoting collaboration to try to improve cybersecurity across the board.
These Veeam vulnerabilities really underscore the need for some clear and consistent regulations, don't they? Especially when it comes to things like vulnerability disclosure and patch management.
Absolutely. We need those clear guidelines for how vendors should handle vulnerabilities. Like, how quickly do they need to issue patches? How should they communicate with their customers about these issues? And critically, those regulations need teeth. Hmm. There needs to be a way to hold companies accountable if they don't follow the rules.
It can't just be a slap on the wrist, right?
Exactly. There need to be real consequences.
Okay, but it's not just about regulation and enforcement, is it? Governments can also play a role in providing guidance and resources to help organizations improve their own security posture.
That's right. Think about public awareness campaigns about cyber threats, promoting best practices, providing tools and resources to help companies implement effective security measures. There's a lot they can do on that front.
And it's not just about individual companies either, is it? There's this huge need for collaboration and information sharing between different stakeholders in the cybersecurity world.
Absolutely. We're all in this together. And the more we can share information about threats, vulnerabilities, and best practices, the better equipped we'll be to actually defend ourselves.
It's like that old saying, two heads are better than one.
Right. Or in this case, maybe a lot more than two heads.
Exactly. We need to break down those silos and foster a more collaborative approach to cybersecurity.
I agree.
And that means collaboration between governments, industries, individual companies, even everyday people.
Yep. Because at the end of the day, cybersecurity is a shared responsibility.
We all have a role to play in creating a safer digital world. Now, speaking of shared responsibility, there's another layer to this whole Veeam situation that I find particularly troubling.
Oh, tell me more. What are you thinking about?
Well, we've been focusing a lot on the technical parts of these vulnerabilities, but I think it's important to remember the human element. These vulnerabilities exist because of mistakes made by people.
Yeah, that's an incredibly important point. Human error is often the weakest link in the cybersecurity chain.
Exactly. So how do we address that? How do we create systems and processes that are more resilient to human error?
Well, we've already talked about the need for ongoing security awareness training, educating people about the threats and how to protect themselves. That needs to be a top priority for any organization.
But beyond training, how do we actually change behaviors? How do we make security a part of people's everyday thinking, not just something they learn about in a yearly training session?
That's where building a culture of security comes in. It's about fostering a mindset where security is everyone's responsibility, not just the IT department's problem.
I like the way you put that security is everyone's responsibility. Wow. It's not just about ticking boxes and following rules. It's about creating that sense of shared ownership and empowerment.
Exactly. And it's about giving people the tools and resources they need to make smart decisions about security, making it easy for them to report suspicious activity and to get help if they need it.
So education, empowerment, and creating a supportive environment where people feel comfortable speaking up about security concerns.
That's
okay. Now, even with the best training and the strongest security culture, mistakes can still happen, right? That's just the reality of human nature.
That's true. And that's where incident response planning comes in. It's not just about preventing incidents from happening, but also about having a plan in place to deal with them when they do occur.
Okay. So you're saying it's not just about dealing with, you know, full-blown breaches. It's about recognizing and responding to any suspicious activity, no matter how small it might seem.
Exactly. Early detection and response are key to minimizing damage.
Makes sense.
So you need to have a clear process for reporting incidents, investigating them, and containing the damage.
So it's like a roadmap for dealing with a security incident.
Right.
It tells you who to contact, what steps to take, and how to communicate effectively.
Precisely. And it also outlines the steps for recovering from an incident, restoring systems, and learning from the experience to improve your security posture going forward.
So it's a continuous cycle.
It is.
Prevention, detection, response, and recovery. Now, you mentioned restoring systems, and it makes me think about backups. Those Veeam vulnerabilities really highlighted how important it is to have secure backups.
You're absolutely right. Backups are often our last line of defense against data loss, whether it's due to a cyber attack, a natural disaster, or just simple human error.
So we need to make sure those backups are protected just as rigorously as our primary systems, right?
Absolutely.
So what are the best practices for securing backups? What should we be doing?
Well, one of the most important things is to follow the 3-2-1 backup rule.
Okay, I've heard of that, but can you refresh my memory? What did that mean?
Sure. It stands for having 3 copies of your data stored on 2 different media types with 1 copy offsite. So you've got multiple layers of protection in case one backup fails or becomes inaccessible.
Okay, so multiple copies, different media, and 1 copy offsite. Got it.
Okay.
What else can we do to make those backups bulletproof?
Encryption is crucial. You want to make sure your backups are encrypted using strong algorithms so that even if someone gets their hands on them, they can't read the data without the decryption key.
And speaking of keys, where should we be storing those encryption keys to make sure they're safe?
That's a great question. Key management is critical. You don't want to use weak passwords or store your keys in easily accessible locations. Ideally, you should use a dedicated key management system that's designed for security and reliability.
So it's not just about encrypting the backups.
Yeah.
It's about protecting the keys themselves.
Exactly.
Okay, what other steps can we take to make our backups extra secure?
Regularly testing your backups is essential. You need to make sure they're actually working and that you can restore your data if you need to.
Testing, that seems like one of those things that often gets pushed to the back burner, but it sounds like it's just as important as any other security measure.
Absolutely. And testing shouldn't just be about, you know, verifying that the backup was successful.
Right.
You should actually restore data from the backup to make sure it's usable.
Okay.
And this testing should be done regularly, ideally at least once a month, if not more frequently.
So encrypt, test, and make sure those keys are secure. Anything else we should be thinking about?
Access control is crucial. You need to limit access to backups to authorized personnel only.
Okay.
And you should implement strong authentication mechanisms like multi-factor authentication to further protect access.
Right. We already talked about MFA
yeah.
for systems, so it makes sense that it's just as important for those backups.
Okay.
Anything else?
Monitoring is key. You want to monitor backup activity for any suspicious behavior, like unusual access patterns, failed backups, or attempts to modify backup data.
Okay.
And if you detect anything suspicious, investigate it immediately and take action.
So being proactive and vigilant, don't just set it and forget it. Keep an eye on those backups and be ready to respond if something seems off.
Exactly. Backup security is a critical part of any comprehensive cybersecurity strategy.
Okay, we've covered a lot here. Incident response, backups, the human element. But before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to touch on one final point that's particularly relevant in light of these Veeam vulnerabilities. And it's something that I think a lot of organizations overlook.
Okay, I'm listening. What is it?
It's the importance of supply chain security.
Yes. That's a big one, because in today's interconnected world, our security is only as strong as the weakest link in our supply chain.
Exactly. And these Veeam vulnerabilities really highlight the potential risks that come with relying on third-party software.
They do. So what can organizations do to improve their supply chain security?
Well, for starters, they need to carefully vet their vendors. Make sure they have strong security practices in place and a good track record of addressing vulnerabilities.
So due diligence is key. Don't just take a vendor's word for it. Dig deeper. Ask tough questions and make sure they can back up their claims. What else?
We need to stay informed about any security incidents or vulnerabilities that affect our vendors.
Right.
We can't just assume that they'll always keep us in the loop.
Right. We need to be proactive and monitor security news and advisories. And we should have those clear communication channels with our vendors so we can get those timely notifications and updates.
Okay, so what happens if a vendor we rely on does experience a security breach?
That's where contingency planning comes in. We need to have those plans in place for what we'll do to mitigate the impact on our own organization.
So thinking about backup options, alternative vendors, communication plans, it's all about being prepared for that worst case scenario.
Exactly.
Okay, anything else organizations should be thinking about when it comes to supply chain security?
Well, we need to be realistic about the number of vendors we rely on.
Okay.
The fewer vendors we have, the easier it is to manage those supply chain risks.
That's a good point. It's about simplifying and streamlining your supply chain to reduce your attack surface.
Right.
And then what about the data itself?
Yeah.
We need to think about how critical the systems and data are that are being handled by our vendors.
Right.
For vendors who handle really sensitive data, we need to implement even stricter security measures.
So it's about tiered security, matching the level of security to the sensitivity of the data. Makes sense. What tools do we have to evaluate a vendor's security posture?
Security assessments and audits are a good way to go.
Yeah.
They can give us an independent evaluation of a vendor's security practices.
Good idea. And it's also smart to include security requirements in our contracts with vendors.
Right.
That helps ensure that they're meeting our standards.
So it's about being proactive, setting clear expectations, and holding vendors accountable for meeting those expectations.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a lot to digest when it comes to supply chain security. Can we recap the key takeaways for our listeners?
Absolutely. So first, vet your vendors carefully. Don't just take their word for it. Dig deeper and make sure they have a strong security posture.
Second, stay informed. Keep an eye on security news and advisories related to your vendors. And make sure you have those clear communication channels with them.
Third, have a plan. Know what you'll do if one of your vendors has a security breach.
Fourth, simplify. The fewer vendors you rely on, the easier it is to manage your supply chain risk.
And fifth, be strategic. Consider how critical the systems and data are that are being handled by your vendors and implement security measures accordingly.
Okay, this whole Veeam situation has really brought to light how interconnected cybersecurity is, hasn't it?
It really has.
It's not just about protecting your own systems. It's about understanding the whole ecosystem and making sure every link in the chain is strong.
You're absolutely right. We live in a world where we rely on this complex web of interconnected systems and services. And that means we need to be thinking about security from a much broader perspective.
Okay, so we've talked about trust government regulations, the human element, incident response backups, and supply chain security. That's a lot to cover.
It is.
But I think it all points to a bigger question. How do we stay ahead of the curve in a world where the threat landscape is constantly evolving?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's one that we'll explore in more detail in the next part of our deep dive. We'll delve into the future of cybersecurity, emerging threats, new technologies, and the evolving role of cybersecurity in our lives.
I'm looking forward to that discussion. Stay tuned for the final part of our deep dive. Okay, so we spent the last couple parts of this deep dive really digging into these Veeam vulnerabilities, talking about everything from patching and incident response to the human element and supply chain security. But I think it's time to look ahead. You know, what's coming next in the world of cybersecurity?
Yeah, the future of cybersecurity. It's a fascinating topic, full of promise, but also uncertainty. You know, we're on the cusp of some major technological advancements that are going to reshape the whole threat landscape in ways that we can only begin to imagine.
It's like we're standing at the edge of a new frontier.
Yeah.
So what are some of the trends that you're seeing that you think are going to have the biggest impact in the coming years?
Well, one of the most significant trends is the rise of artificial intelligence and machine learning in cybersecurity.
Okay. AI and machine learning. Those are definitely the buzzwords of the moment. But how are they actually being applied in the real world of cybersecurity? Could you give me some concrete examples?
Sure. So imagine a security system that can sift through mountains of log data, you know, looking for those subtle patterns that might indicate like a malicious insider threat or a system that can automatically identify and quarantine a device that's exhibiting suspicious behavior.
So it's like having an army of digital detectives working around the clock to protect our systems. That's pretty wild.
It is pretty amazing.
Right.
But you also have to be cautious.
Right, okay.
There's a real danger of an AI arms race, you know, where attackers use AI to create more evasive malware and defenders are using AI to try to keep up.
Right. It's that constant cat and mouse game.
Exactly. And it's likely to escalate even further in the coming years.
So it's not a silver bullet. We can't just sit back and let the AI do all the work.
No, definitely not AI and machine learning. They're powerful tools, but they're not a cure-all.
Okay.
We still need human expertise and oversight to make sure that they're being used effectively and ethically, and we need to be ready for the fact that attackers might find ways to exploit them.
Right. It's like any new technology can be used for good or for evil. Okay. So AI and machine learning, that's one big trend. What other trends are you keeping an eye on?
Another major one is the explosion of the Internet of Things, you know?
IoT.
IoT, exactly. We're surrounded by all these connected devices from smart homes and wearables to industrial sensors and cars. And each of those devices is a potential entry point for attackers.
It's like we're creating this massive attack surface with all these interconnected devices. It seems almost impossible to secure.
It's a huge challenge for sure. A lot of these devices are designed with very little thought given to security.
Right.
They often have default passwords, they lack encryption, and they don't get regular security updates.
So they're just sitting ducks.
Pretty much.
Okay, so what can we do about it? Is it even possible to secure the IoT given just how many devices there are?
It's a tough task, but it's not impossible. Manufacturers need to start making security a priority from the very beginning.
Okay.
Building it into the design of these devices rather than just tacking it on as an afterthought.
It's like building a house. You wouldn't wait till after it's built to install the locks.
Yeah.
Exactly. We need that security by design approach to the IoT.
And what about the people using these devices?
Yeah, consumers need to be aware of the risks, change those default passwords, and keep their devices updated.
So everyone has a part to play.
We do.
Okay, so AI and machine learning, the IoT, these are some pretty big trends.
Yeah.
Anything else on your radar?
There is one more that I think is worth mentioning, even though it's still early days.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What is it?
It's the potential impact of quantum computing on cybersecurity.
Quantum computing? That sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie.
I know, right? But quantum computers are becoming a reality, and they have the potential to break a lot of the encryption algorithms that we use today to secure our data.
Wait, so all our sensitive data could be at risk? Our passwords, our financial transactions, all of it?
It's a real possibility, but it's not an immediate threat. Quantum computers are still in their early stages of development, but it is something we need to start thinking about. How are we going to secure our data in a post-quantum world?
It sounds like a ticking time bomb. Are we even close to having solutions that can hold up against quantum computers?
Researchers are definitely working on it. They're developing new encryption algorithms that are resistant to quantum attacks. And there are other approaches like quantum key distribution that could also play a role.
So it's a race against time.
In a way, yeah.
We need to find these solutions before quantum computers become powerful enough to crack our current encryption.
Exactly.
Okay, so thinking about all these challenges, what keeps you up at night when it comes to the future of cybersecurity?
Honestly, one of the biggest challenges is the skills gap in cybersecurity. There's a huge demand for qualified professionals, but there just aren't enough people to fill the roles.
So it's a workforce problem. How do we get more people interested in cybersecurity?
Well, we need to start early introducing cybersecurity concepts in schools and universities, showing young people how exciting this field can be.
Yeah, get them hooked early.
Exactly. And we need to make sure that training is accessible and affordable so people from all backgrounds can get the skills they need.
So making it a viable career path for anyone who's interested.
Right.
Okay. And what about the skills themselves?
Yeah.
What are the most important skills for the cybersecurity pros of the future?
Well, technical skills are obviously essential. Understanding networks, operating systems, programming languages, security tools. But it's not just about the technical side.
Okay.
Cybersecurity professionals also need those strong communication skills, problem-solving abilities, and a really deep understanding of the threat landscape.
So it's that combination of hard skills and soft skills.
Yep. You need to be able to think like a hacker, understand the technology, but you also need to be able to communicate effectively and work as part of a team.
And be adaptable.
Oh, absolutely. Hey. The threat landscape is constantly changing, so you need to be a quick learner, adapt to new technologies, and really think outside the box.
So it's not just about what you know today. It's about your ability to learn what comes next.
Exactly.
Okay. Any final thoughts on the future of cybersecurity?
Well, as we've discussed, the future is full of challenges and opportunities we're facing, these unprecedented threats. But we also have these powerful new technologies at our disposal. And I think the key takeaway is that we need to be proactive, collaborative, and constantly evolving our approach to cybersecurity.
Couldn't agree more. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, the Veeam vulnerabilities, the broader implications for cybersecurity, the trends that are shaping the future. But this is really just the beginning of the conversation.
It is an ongoing journey, and we all have a role to play in creating a more secure digital world.
That's right. We encourage everyone to keep learning, keep exploring, and keep asking questions. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.